is the way.
We want it been.
Welcome to episode 160 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy and in lands far, far away. Jason, finally, after 30 years of waiting, we have live action Thrawn.
Yeah.
And we have Sabine. Awesome. We have Sabine and Ezra reunited after 5 years of waiting.
So. Meh. More the Thrawn. More the Thrawn thing that we care about. 30 years. Yeah,
both of them were awesome. Both of them were awesome. How's your week going?
It was good. I had to go away for work. I have to do that again this week. So it's a lot of travel. Right. I'm tired from the travel, but it's good.
Yeah. Travel's awesome, but it tires you out. And I don't know if work travel, if it's the same. When I do work travel, it's like you have no personal life. They expect you to work. And then when you're off work, they want you to hang out. And I'm like, I don't want to hang out with you people. I just got done hanging out, working with you guys. I'd like to see the area that I'm in.
I hope I can do that because next week I'm going to Dallas. So I have Saturday to myself, but I do know that some people are working that Saturday. I can't really say what I'm doing just yet. I'll have to wait.
Yeah.
I hate to be coy. I'll tell you next week. But regardless, so I'll be in Dallas and I'm hoping I don't have to work. I hope I can go to Holocron Toys and order 66 toys.
Right, there's Dallas Vintage Toys, but that's sort of what I feel about Dallas. There's
Holocron
rumors about them. I can't,
And Holocron and Order 66 is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, still, even if you can get some cool toy shops in a different state, that's always awesome.
Yes, but yeah, how about you? How was your week?
It's all right. I'm trying to think if I picked up anything, but I actually forgot something I picked up a couple of weeks ago. I picked up a Galactic Heroes prototype, another one to add to the collection, and just a Stormtrooper. Mm. Nothing spectacular, but, when you can add one for fairly cheap, it's fun.
What color is it?
White. Oh. With the pauldron's black, I think.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's getting to the point of ridiculousness where you buy something and you put it on the shelf and forget about it. Mm. So, yeah.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we're going to, not my prototypes, but I'm thinking we're going to sell the Galactic Heroes because the grandbabies don't play with them anymore. And I have a few hundred of them. So I'm like, I can probably fund other purchases if I get rid of these.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the time has passed. It's time to move on. It's not needed anymore.
No, and they did. The grandbabies did call me yesterday. They were like, "Guess what we're going to be for Halloween?" I'm like,
Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, they're going to be Grogu and Mandalorian. So I guess I've raised them well.
This is the way.
This is the way. And then my daughter was like, "Well, that was what was at Goodwill." I'm like, "Well, whatever, awesome."
It was last year that out of the blue, Target just sent me a Mandalorian costume.
Really?
I didn't order it. It was addressed to me. It had an order number. We weren't charged for it. It was so weird that this thing just showed up.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, no. Whatever. It was just weird.
Wasn't it adult size?
No, it was kid sized.
Oh, that's weird.
It was. But that's weird.
Yeah, just throw it in your pile.
Yeah. I picked up the AT-AT Amazon exclusive Jazzwares Endor deco guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
The AT-AT, you mean?
Yes. I'm sorry, that's the confusion. It's an AT-AT.
Right.
And then I also got the TVC Boba Fett throne room, which is Jabba's palace, basically.
Right. Yeah, you were posting some stuff about that. You weren't too happy with it.
No, it's not that I'm. I don't want to be negative on the show, but I think it's fair to be critical from time to time.
Productive criticism. I always agree with productive criticism.
And so you could tell me if this is productive criticism or not. So I'm opening the thing. I'm setting it up. It doesn't really feel like a $225 piece. I know the cost of production's gone up.
Right.
But I feel like it was a $150 piece. But then, so there's basically three parts of this thing. There's the floor, there's the walls, and then there's the dais. And the dais has a really nice deco on it. It's dirty, it's grungy, it looks like it's been used. The floor looks pretty clean, unfortunately. It's like a light tan, and then they put a whiter tan wash on it to give it that sandy color, but it's not dirty at all. And then the walls is a completely different palette of tan, I would say. So it's almost like three different pieces, and they have three different color schemes. It doesn't feel like one unified piece.
That stinks.
And then the floor itself has, and the steps going up to the back part behind the dais, it has some sand detail that's been sculpted into the staircases, almost like, you know, this place is covered in sand. Sand has dripped down onto the stairs. Now you've got mounds of sand on the steps. And it looks like it's been vacuum formed. It just looks like that's sand, but it doesn't seem like it's sand. It just looks like it's, how do I explain that? It's more like a shape. There's no detail on it. There's no deco. It just feels lazy.
Yeah.
And so that was disappointing. The back part has a spigot with a monkey lizard on it, and you put flames on top of that. And you can actually turn the spigot, and the monkey lizard flips around and stuff, and the flame sits there. But it feels unfinished because underneath they left a spot where you could put a light bulb, make the flame, you know, light up and make it look like it's actual flame. But there's no electronics with it. And so it's just like, if you want to do it, you know, here you go. You can take care of it, user. But us Hasbro, we're going to wash our hands of this. And
it's going to cost us an extra 50 cents. So we're not going to do it. And the more important question about the monkey lizard on a spigot, did it upset you? Did you cry?
Yes. My boy. it's a cool detail. It's kind of charred a little bit. So it looks like it's been roasted. It's a little pink and black, so it looks like it's a cooked monkey lizard. It's not the fleshy colors. So it's a cool piece, and I got mixed feelings because there's a lot of it that I like. The dais itself, if you flip it upside down, it's got wheels, so it rolls back and forth, but they've also sculpted in some sort of mechanical details, so you could see the mechanics underneath that push it out and pull it back in. Which is cool. It's something I've never really considered before. But yeah, obviously this thing is mechanical if it's going to move Jabba the Hutt back and forth.
Right.
But it feels like incomplete HasLab, like the electronics was supposed to be a tier at one point. And because they scrapped it, this came out after the Rancor.
Right.
And the Rancor obviously failed. The Black Series HasLab Rancor failed. And it seems like, yeah, instead of going forward with this TVC HasLab, they just offered it up to people, and then they made some cuts, as in they cut the paints, they cut the electronics from it, because it does feel like it's just a spot where it's almost like if you put a button battery in a light and screw it back in, it would, you know, light the whole thing up, but it's not there.
Jeez. Does it feel like all of your experience with dealing with toy designers is kind of ruining your experience with toys because you know too much?
Yeah. it's a mix of that, and it's a mix of, you know, like, why can a company like Four Horsemen do so much?
Right.
And make, and yeah, sometimes they do the translucent stuff, so they reuse molds, but they make, you know, new thing after new thing after new thing. And Hasbro is just like giving us the middle finger. We can get into this real quick. I came back from my vacation, not vacation, sorry, work. I went away for work, and I came back. I missed the Hasbro PulseCon thing.
Right.
So I wasn't there for the glam and the glitz to watch it live, but I did see like the pipeline reveals. And I was kind of like shocked by the TVC pipeline reveals. You've got Cal Kestis, the Imperial officer. So all they did was take the Cal Kestis head and they threw it on an Imperial officer body, straight repack. The Mandalorian judge. So another Mando. So you know that's going to be a repack. And then the Phase 2 clone troopers. Yeah, they're all different colors, but it's the same mold. So it's six figures, all repacks.
Right.
And it was just like, you guys are doing the bare minimum now at this point. There is nothing new. And if given the choice of making a new figure or completely repainting and repacking things and kit bashing, they're going to do that. They're not going to give us anything new. And it's just disappointing to see the decline in quality and offerings from Hasbro.
Right. I don't know what to tell you, but yeah, it does suck. And I don't know if it's because Four Horsemen is their own IP, or is it because Hasbro's got to pay 20% to Lucasfilm? Are they just trying to milk the money now? Because they've realized they can get away with it. But I mean, I can feel your pain because it is aggravating. Because I will open a $40 figure from Four Horsemen and I get every bit of my $40 out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do it with Hasbro, you're like, I don't see the value in this. And it would piss me off if I spent $200 and something on a toy and it didn't feel right. How many, I know a kid, but at least with a bib, did it come with any other figures?
No, it came with Bib Fortuna. If you put it next to that TBC playset that they made before with Han Solo and Carbonite and, excuse me, a burp. what is that little side section called?
It's like a wall or something. I have one of those. And yeah. I think those were like $50 when they came out.
Yeah, if you put this next to it, and that came with two figures too, by the way.
Two or three.
Well, if you count the Carbonite block, yeah, but it's Han Solo and the Carbonite and then Reese.
But those were carded figures.
Yeah, so is Bib Fortuna. Bib Fortuna is carded. But if you put that next to this one, it's a fourth different color of tan.
Jeez.
So it's not a cohesive piece, which is disappointing. But yeah, like... It just seems like right now the Hasbro's MO is do more with less.
Yeah.
And they're really pushing them doing less.
Dude, I'm really hoping that kind of scares me with the Ghost, but I'm hoping that they, you know, it's a $600 toy. So I'm hoping they'll at least do us right by it.
Even the pipeline for Black Series, just to finish this up, is A New Hope Darth Vader, which we've already had a bunch of times.
Dude, people were pissed about that one.
Well, I was like shocked that they're going to do an archive Luke X-Wing pilot.
Haven't they done that? Yeah. I caught the tail end of it. So all I caught was like when they released, I caught the tail end of them doing Sabine's lightsaber. That's where I came in. So I missed all the archive stuff. But yeah, why would they do another Luke X-Wing?
I don't know. Like, it blows my mind that they're re-releasing this one because it's not something that's going high on the aftermarket. So it's not like there's a demand for this. You know, this figure selling for $200. So let's just redo it because then we can cash in on that demand. So it's just shocking that they're doing it again as an archive series, and it's also shocking that they're not re-releasing it in, you know, like the Galaxy box set,
right?
Because they've got this new line, so why not just release it in that line, like repackage it in there, so you've got a whole new package, so the box collectors that feel compelled to get every single version of the box has a new box to chase.
I guess they've stuck with that archive box and that's where they want to stay or something.
Yep. There's a new Mandalorian coming, season 3 Black Series.
Yeah,
there's a Phase 1 clone trooper and a Mando Night Owl. So it's like a redo of a Mandalorian. So that's a repaint, a Phase 1 clone trooper. They say it's a new body, but I mean, they're just getting a new body ready so they can repaint that thing 12 billion times.
Right. They need a new buck. Oh, we broke the buck, so we got to get more.
And then, so have I been negative so far? Or is this...
No, dude, you're aggravating with Hasbro. I feel your pain, man.
Is this that criticism you're talking about? Constructive, yeah, no, productive?
yes, you're being productive. I really thought, because they released the action pack or whatever, the troop builder of the clones.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be Mandalorians. I got excited about that one. So I was like, that, I mean, even though I know they'd be all repaints, it'd be cool to have five or six Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they beat the hell out of clone troopers. But I know people dig them for army builder.
I get that. I understand people dig it as an army builder, but I'm just tired of them making a figure in the line that for a clone that was on screen for 0.38 seconds. You know, if you blink, you miss that clone trooper, or if he was in one episode of the Clone Wars, you know, that gives them carte blanche to say, let's make that figure. Let's make Havoc. Like, it's to the point where they don't even get the names on some of these clones right.
Right. It's literally like, oh, who has a paintbrush?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do a green one. The kids will love it. Let's make a green one. Let's do orange. We haven't done orange yet. Let's do purple. We haven't done purple yet.
Hold on. We have overabundance of purple and orange. Let's do it.
Meanwhile, we're like, oh, a Baylan skull is pretty cool. That'd be cool in TVC. Oh, I hear you. Here's another teal clone trooper. It's like, guys, you're not listening.
Yeah, people were really upset about that. One of the Instagram people that I follow was playing the audio of them going, yes, thank you for backing the ghost, and you guys are awesome, and we love you, TVCs. And it's like, Black Series, Black Series, Black Series, Black Series, Black Series. Here's some crap for TVC.
Yeah, they were running a poll during PulseCon, and I just saw the aftermath of, like, what are you excited most, 3.75 or 6 inch? And I didn't know if it was related to Star Wars or just in general, but 6 inch dominated the poll.
I mean, maybe they've got their heartbeat on something, you know, maybe they know something we don't know.
Maybe. I just, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing is the Force Unleashed. So they have that, and they have announced this a while ago, but they have the Force Unleashed PulseCon exclusive for $110 with Starkiller and two Stormtroopers and a bunch of special effects to kind of set up on your shelf. Because no one's going to play with it. And I'm like, this video game is 15 years old. Why is there so much love for this video game? Are the gamers that, do they have that deep of pocket where they're like, oh yeah, I'll just buy this one because I liked that 15 years ago? Or what's the story?
It was a badass video game. I remember playing it, but I'm not that tied to it. But there again, I'm not that big of a gamer. So, I mean, maybe I don't know. I don't know why they would keep doing that.
And I'm old school, but I would say that there were more seminal Star Wars games than The Force Unleashed.
Right. Well, Knights of the Old Republic is kind of the one that I go to, and I never played it, but that's the one you always hear.
Yeah, Darth Revan. Like, okay, here we go again with Darth Revan. There's another TVC Revan coming out, or a 3.75 scale Revan.
I mean, you can even go to Shadows if they really want to get into that.
Shadows of the Empire, I would love. Kyle Katarin, I would love from... Oh, crap, I'm having a blank. What's the first-person shooter from the early 90s?
Don't know.
Dark Forces. Is it Dark Forces?
That sounds right. I can Google it. Is it that important? Or you're Googling it right now?
I'm Googling. I think it's
Dark Forces does sound right.
There's Dark Forces and then Dark Forces 2. Yeah, it's Dark Forces.
Dark Forces. All right. Now everybody in their car can calm down. We figured it out.
And I can calm down too and move on with the show. But yeah, it's like, why the Force Unleashed? And like, I get that Jedi Survivor is, you know, the game right now. I mean, that's the one that they're making, but
right,
like, that's the only game that they're making. Unfortunately, it's where are the other Star Wars games? Let's go. I know they've got a game on the way, but it's just really disappointing with the video games too. But
yeah, well, then you got to buy a PS5 to play them.
Yeah,
but I mean, I got other things I want to spend my money on.
Exactly, Baylan Skull and Shin Hati Black Series are coming. TVC Chopper, TVC Director Krennic, which I was excited about, but it looks like a scaled down version of the Black Series. It's even got the same hard That's not hard goods cape. It's not a soft goods cape.
It's a plastic cape. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did pre-order that chopper just because.
Because it's chopper.
Well, and I also and I pre-ordered the Hera and I pre-ordered the Sabine and I got to go with chopper from, even though I know it's going to probably be the same damn one from that they're going to re-release for the Ghost.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Chopper's paint scheme is a little bit more saturated in the show, the Ahsoka, than it is in Rebels.
Yeah.
He's got more of a red orange, I would say, than just a burnt orange that he had in Rebels.
Right. And he's a little cleaner. It's like she spent some time cleaning him up.
Yeah. TVC Hu Yang is coming. And then there's that TVC Revan and the HK droid 2-pack that. Let's just reprint Revan like we do with the clones. It's, come on, guys. Let's move on from that.
Right. And they're doing the role play stuff.
Yeah, the lightsaber and then the helmet.
Dude, I wanted that lightsaber so bad till I saw the price.
$300.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell, Hasbro? I mean, the Darksaber was $250. I mean, you can get the Darksaber for $225 right now, but still, I mean, $200's a lot. In my opinion, when you could go down to Disney and get them for cheaper, you can get them for like a $180 at Disney.
Yeah.
Without the blade, but you're not going to display it with the blade. And how many blades do you really need?
And it goes against Hasbro saying this is role playing for kids. No kid is going to get a $300 lightsaber. That's right. Not what this is for.
The box on that was amazing, though. I saw that box and I was that with the Sabine bucket on it. And it was a beautiful box, beautiful packaging. It's a beautiful lightsaber, but I'm not spending $300 on it. I'll wait for it to go on clearance, which there again, that's why we had to do HasLab stuff, because people like me, I'll just wait 3 years for it to go on clearance and pick it up.
That's why the Jabba's playset, you know, was an online exclusive with Hasbro, because they don't want it to go on clearance.
Yeah. I mean, I picked up that the wall with the Luke, with the Luke, with the Han Solo and whatever, that one, I picked that up for like $20. Or actually, yeah. I think it was down to like 13 at one point, and it was $50 piece.
I bought three of them. I think I bought them at that $13 price point.
Yeah, I've got mine kind of set up because I've got it in behind my vintage Jabba, and that shelf has just kind of become a catch-all for droids and stuff. Just a hodgepodge of crap.
Mm-hmm. But in conclusion, Hasbro needs to do better.
Yeah, maybe just because maybe the Four Horsemen need to go work at Hasbro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to work though.
No,
it's just corporate greed. I mean, do more with less. There's no motivation to do anything more. People keep buying the same crap over and over again. You know, that's why we say vote with our wallet. That's why I stopped buying Black Series, because it just wasn't exciting anymore.
Yeah, I mean. You know, and when I look at with the Black Series stuff that's coming out now, all I've done is bought the Ahsoka stuff, the Rebels, the re-release of the Rebels, because it's like, I'd kick myself if I didn't buy them. And, you know, you look at my Amazon and it's all re-release Rebels stuff that's there right now.
And so I've been on this kick lately, you know, don't buy because it's an investment.
Right.
Hasbro can kill that whole thing. But if it comes to it and I want to go back to Black Series stuff, it's not an investment. Like, I can go to any of our toy shows, like we said, and I can pick these things up for $20-$30.
Right.
They're not increasing in value. So it's not like I feel the urge to buy it right now, cause I won't get it in 3 years. It's like, if I want to wait, I can wait.
Yeah. And that's going to kill Hasbro. I mean, we're just going to continue to be getting the online exclusives and stuff like that, because I mean, I think they're starting to figure that out. It's only taken them 5 or 6 years. But I mean, maybe that'll help with the hobby. I don't know.
I don't know. I worry about that. And, you know, maybe we all need a break. Maybe Hasbro needs to cool Star Wars for a little bit, which is not going to happen.
No.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But
not when you got Dave Filoni creating content. It's just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It was revealed this week that David Goyer, who wrote the Blade movies, I think he co-wrote some of the Batman movies with Christopher Nolan. He worked on a movie for Guillermo del Toro, for Star Wars, and they didn't reveal what it was, but Guillermo said on Twitter something like, I can't tell you, but I'll tell you the two of the letters involved of the project that I was working on, J and BB, hinting at Jabba.
Oh.
So it sounds like he was working on a Godfather-like movie about the rise of Jabba the Hutt.
Ooh, that would be awesome. I want to see more dirty Star Wars, man. Bring me the dirty, gritty side of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. The only issue is, they didn't move forward. I wonder if it was just like something they didn't think would be profitable. Who wants to get in that deep of Star Wars lore? You don't have a Luke Skywalker.
Jabba the freaking Hutt, man. Everybody knows who that guy is.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. I'm not arguing against the movie. I'm just speculating as to why I think Lucasfilm didn't move forward with it. And I would imagine that's the case where it's just like, is this really going to be profitable? Is this what people want to see?
Yeah, well, it's... people keep harking back on the Solo movie not doing good, and it's not because of what it was. It's because of the way you marketed it and because you pushed three movies out in a year. And people are going to pick and choose what they're going to go see, and they're like, oh, I don't want to go see that movie. So they're not going to go see Solo, or they're going to wait for it to come out on Disney Plus. I mean, dude, I really wanted to go see Haunted Mansion, but then you start hearing bad reviews and then all of a sudden they're advertising it coming out in 1st of October on Disney Plus. Why would I go see it in a theater and spend $30, $40 when I can wait a month and watch it on Disney Plus for free?
Yeah, they need to increase the window between when things hit theaters and Disney Plus. It needs to be more than 45 days. It needs to be 6 months.
Yeah. At 6 months, I think I'd wait. Unless it was something that I had that was just dying to see.
Right. But they've killed the whole movie model.
Yeah.
Why bother going? Like, I didn't see Elemental. It's on Disney Plus. I've always loved going to see Pixar movies in the theaters, but I just don't feel the need to right now because I know that I can see it, you know, quote, for free. I pay for Disney Plus, and right. I'll just, instead of having the extra cost of going to the movie theater, I can just watch it on Disney Plus in a couple
exactly
minutes.
I mean, we were talking of taking the grandkids to a movie last weekend, and my wife's like, oh, Elemental, and I'm like, Elemental's on Disney Plus, and she's like, well, I guess we won't go see that one, because it was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Elemental, and then I don't know if it was what Jurassic Park movie was in the theater, but it was like those were the three choices, and we ended up not getting them because of the Bert Kreischer thing. But yeah, We forgot to mention Sabine and Chopper for the HasLab, the announcement.
Oh, we did talk about that.
Well, we didn't. I just mentioned it, but
oh, go ahead.
No, they're pushing it back till, I guess, first quarter of 2024, and now they're gonna give like a 2 or 3 week window, which I'm happy about that. There's that big of a window to get those figures, and then they're it's gonna be common. You know, anybody can get them. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you back the ghost, you can only get them, which I'm happy. It seems like their pre-orders, they're opening them up longer, which I'm happy about. They're not doing anything like limited, you know, very limited anymore. But it would be nice, you know, you spent $500 on the ghost, you'd get dibs on them, but whatever. I think it'll increase the value maybe of the ghost, or at least the figures, you know, because I think if somebody is a completist, they're going to go get those two figures. And then they're like, well, I need the other ones. So people may be able to flip the figures and get the ghost for free or something, or very cheap.
We talked about it. I don't know if it's going to be worth as much as you think, just because they made so many of them.
Yeah.
And they made them with speculators buying it, thinking that this might be the next sale barge. Well, no, that.
Well, I'm talking about opening your ghost, pulling the figures out, and selling just the figures, but holding. I mean, not maybe get the ghost for free, but maybe sell the figures for $20 each.
Maybe. I think that's a possibility. $20, yeah, but not hundreds of dollars.
Right. So what? There's four, so $100, maybe $200 for the set.
Maybe.
And then you got your ghost a quarter of the way paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've talked to people that I don't know it, and then you've got people that bought three of them or something. I forgot the math, but behind it, but it was like they were buying them for the figures. So they were like, I bought one so I can open the figures, bought one so I can leave the figures closed, bought one so that I could sell figures, bought one that I could sell the ghost, you know, and it was just the math behind it was insane. But they were thinking they'd break out even because they were going to be able to sell a bunch of stuff and break it all apart.
That's interesting because I've never thought of it as something for the figures. I always thought of it as something for the vehicle, like HasLab. So I would buy the ghost. I'm not buying the figures.
Right.
The figures come with the ghost. It's not like it's just not in my mind to think of it as like, I'm going to buy the HasLab for the figures and then figure out what to do with the ghost later.
Right. I mean, unless somebody is just a figure collector, not a vehicle collector, and they want the figures and not the vehicle. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to be numbered or anything, right? Or are they going to be numbered?
They're usually numbered like a special number, like HL or HAS. It might be HAS, HAS 0, 3, 4, and 5, maybe 6. Okay. We'll see. They haven't announced it yet.
Some kind of Spectre or something. SP would be cool.
Rebels.
Rebels, yeah, or something. I'm still planning on opening those figures unless they come out with a specific version that mimics them or whatever. But those figures have got two cool accessories not to open.
Yeah. They should just have some consistency in how they number things too. Like that's even all over the place. Like the mail away Boba Fett is different than the HasLab of the Yak Face, which was VC-000.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Mandalorian and Jawa are HAS-01 and 02. It's just all over the place. It's at the very least, you should know your job. Anyways, right. That's enough constructive criticism for HasLab for me. I'm zipping my mouth.
Damn it, HasLab. Hasbro, get your shit together. Sorry.
I want to be funny. I don't want to be cranky.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Sorry. Come on, it's too early.
Anyways, how many tears did you shed for this episode of Ahsoka?
My wife had to tell me it was okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At the end?
Yes, at the end. It wasn't as bad my second watch, but the first watch, it was a freaking boohoo, like sobbing moment.
Did you cry 4 times? Because we created that scale last time.
Yeah. I almost teared up when Thrawn showed up. And then when Ezra showed up, that was sobbing. So if you want to count sobs, then yes. Sure.
Great. It was a wonderful episode.
I was so nervous for this episode. But you know how you just got the excitement and the anticipation and the, you know, they're showing stuff. They're showing you've kind of learned with Star Wars when they start showing stuff as seen in, you know what's going to happen. And I'm looking at my wife going, Thrawn's going to show up.
Yeah, he is.
Thrawn, we're seeing Thrawn today. And so that just built, you know, you're already hyped up because it's like it's 9 o'clock and you're planning your whole day around being home in front of the TV at 9 o'clock, and you know, you've got your all your nightly routines done, you got your shower done, you're gonna go sit down with a nice snack or a drink or something, and you know, at at like 8:55, you're sitting in front of the TV on Disney Plus going refresh, waiting for it to come up. But yeah, man, when they were, I was nervous, like physically, like this is the episode that I've been waiting for 3 years. You know, I mean, and the excitement and the anticipation, it's like, where has this been the whole show? I don't want to blame it all on my wife, but I will for a little bit. Cause when Thrawn went to show up, she started asking questions and I'm like,
who's Thrawn?
No. She had seen,
what's that?
Merrick. No, not Merrick. The lady.
Morgan.
Morgan. See, what throws me off is I know a guy named Morgan or knew a guy named Morgan. So the name throws me off, calling a girl Morgan. But she had seen Morgan's ship take off. And then she was like, where'd that gold ship go? And that's right when Thrawn starts showing up. And I'm like, it took me out of the moment for a minute.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So I'm like, come on. Because it was like right when Sabine's starting to use the force and everything starts shaking. She's like, is that ship that just took off? And I'm like, no. That's not that little, what ship? And it just took me out of the moment. Start from the beginning. But anyway, yeah. But when the Chimera showed up, first of all, I mean, I don't know how far back you want to, let's finish talking about this moment. When the Chimera showed up, I was like, oh my God, it's the Chimera. And then you saw all the Purgle damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show the underneath and you're just like, holy crap, it's here. You know, yeah. I think the way they introduced Grand Admiral Thrawn was freaking beautiful. It goes right up there. The introduction of all the characters, reintroduction of the characters in this show, chef's kiss to Dave Filoni. He nailed all of them. You know, because even though you don't know who Grand Admiral Thrawn is, you know, that guy's a bad mama jammer because of the way they introduced him. Same thing with Sabine. It's like, when they introduce him, you're like, all right, cool. I know who this character is. Or at least I get in 30 seconds, this is who this character is.
Yeah. I was afraid that Thrawn might look more like a Blue Man Group guy.
Go ahead.
No, go. What do you think?
No, people were really poo-pooing on his looks. I'm like, come on, guys.
I didn't like the dad bod. I felt like Thrawn would have been more in control.
But also, you got to realize it's Lars Mikkelsen, and how old is he? It's the actor, and he's been gone for 10 years.
Although he played Thrawn perfectly, there was some confidence in that performance. There was
As soon as he spoke, it was like jaw dropping. That's effing Thrawn.
There was some play in the way he was doing things because he was, it's almost like he's confidently moving pieces on a chessboard and he knows exactly 3 steps ahead of what's going to happen. And I kind of feel that way when he performs the character. So I was very happy with that.
Oh, he was the right person to play Thrawn. I don't care what he looks like. I think even if they would have nailed the look, you couldn't have got the characteristics right. And that's what Thrawn is. Thrawn is the character more than the look.
So he's the second actor to portray a character out of Rebels, the character he played in Rebels to play in live action.
Right, which was Bo-Katan, Katie Sackhoff.
No, the first one was the mayor. I'm talking about Rebels itself, not Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The mayor, Clancy Brown. Brown.
Yeah.
He played the mayor in Rebels, and he reprised the role in live action. And so Thrawn is the second character to do that.
Right.
Second actor.
And yeah, you couldn't, when you heard the voice and you've seen the movements and the everything, it's like, yeah, I really don't care what he looked like. He freaking nailed it.
They also gave him some prosthetics right above the eyebrows that kind of curve out towards the side of his head. Cause Thrawn and Rebels had that.
Yeah.
And I was worried that they just like the makeup department did nothing to Thrawn in live action. And so they weren't matching that up, but it was there. It was subtle. And you can kind of see in going back, if you were to reverse engineer this, that they would just heighten everything. So they just heighten that. And it's there, but it's not as defined as it is in Rebels.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. The hair kind of throws me off, but I heard that he had an issue with the hair piece. He didn't want to wear a hair piece or something. And whatever. You can nitpick everything if you want to, but I think he played a perfect Thrawn. I can't wait to see what the conclusion is. I can't wait to see what the plan is going into the future. Because there's a plan. We just don't know it yet.
It's funny. If you go back and watch, I think it's the Anaheim interview with Filoni. They run out of time and they're like, what's her face? Andy Gutierrez was like, we didn't have any time to talk about Ezra. Where's Ezra? And Filoni's like, you want me to tell you where Ezra is? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, he's in a galaxy far, far away. Or he said he's far, far away.
Yeah.
And this episode is titled Far, Far Away, written by Dave Filoni and directed by Jennifer Getzinger. And we do reveal that Ezra is far, far away. So he was hinting in the actual episode title back 2 years ago. Two years ago. And yeah. Is it 2 years ago? 1 year ago. Anyways.
It was 22.
So it was a year ago.
Was it 22? Yeah.
Crap. Yeah. Last May.
Wow.
I'm going to try to keep it high level. We open up on the Purrgils traveling through hyperspace. Hyperspace looks different. Obviously, we're not traveling within the galaxy itself. We're traveling between galaxies, so it looks a little bit different.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that when it fades up from black, you hear the Purrgils. And I'm like, babe, listen, you can hear Purrgils. And she's like, huh? Yeah. And I'm like, just shh, there's Purrgils.
There's flying space whales, which space date back to Empire Strikes Back.
Purrgils.
Ralph McQuarrie did designs for space whales for.
Oh, did he? So space whales are not a new concept.
No, he did a one art piece of art with whales flying through the clouds of Cloud City.
Oh.
And then they recycled that for Kamino in episode 2. You were going to see the whales jumping through the water, some sort of different kind of whales, and that never went through. And obviously, a lot of Rebels was inspired by Ralph McQuarrie. So when they went back to that original artwork, I'm sure Filoni said, let's incorporate the space whales into this.
That is, I did not. This is news to me, man. That's awesome.
Yep. That's there.
Freaking Dave Filoni.
Yeah. Hu Yang and Ahsoka talk on the ship, and they talk about old stories, and Hu Yang knows. He's got three different volumes in his memory about the history of the galaxy. You move forward. You're going to say something?
No, I'm waiting for you to finish and then we'll say something.
Yeah. Hu Yang says that Sabine might have, the Force works in unusual ways. And Ahsoka's troubled by the fact that Sabine willingly gave Baylan the map to find Thrawn. And Hu Yang says that that's the way you look at it, but the way she looks at it might be different. That might be the only choice.
Yeah. I thought Hu Yang is just like, wow, I want to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
The more he talks, the more I love this droid. You know, he has so much insight and he's just smart. I did enjoy the conversation about the stories because he's like, I've got three volumes. And she's like, volume one's the best. And it's like, okay, are you talking the sequels, prequels, and OG? And what order are you talking about them? Are you talking about them the way they came out? Are you talking about them, you know, 1, 2, and 3, like 1 being the sequels, 2 being the OG, 3 being the prequels.
Yeah, I thought it was more like, so the whole universe of Star Wars was split up in universe, not in our universe, looking into their universe. It's like in their universe, their history split up 3 times. And Ahsoka liked the earlier stuff, the mythical stuff, the legend stuff, the stuff that kind of ties to where they're going later in this episode with this pergola. What was it called?
Whatever planet.
But to change the story away from Sabine, Ahsoka says, oh, forget it. Just tell me a story. And Hu Yang says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I did see some complaints about Ahsoka. Some people feel like it's meh. They felt like it didn't resonate. And I could see something like this next scene where Sabine's in jail. And
Hold on a minute before we go on. I think a lot of people are missing this point. That whole like 30 or 5 minute interaction could totally change the Star Wars universe.
Which 35 minute interaction?
The 5 minute that long Hu Yang saying in a galaxy far, far away.
Why?
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away can change everything, can change a lot of stuff.
Why?
It's all stories.
Oh. Where are you going? Like, is it a metaphor? What do you mean?
I mean, is it the fact that everything happened and it's all, I mean, because you, it there keeps going back to stories. They keep saying stories. So is Dave Filoni going to really mess with us and like make it all like feel like it's just stories? I mean, yes, I know it's all stories, but really bring it back to you.
Well, I don't know.
Something's going on with that and we just haven't seen it yet. And is it?
It's just the power of myth.
Yeah.
It does get into it in a little bit with Balon. We can get to that in a second. Okay. I think that's what it's setting up. Anyways.
Sabine's in jail.
Yeah, she's in jail. Balon reminds viewers of their deal. Like, if this was a movie, this scene would have been not included. This is just basic backstory to let everybody know. If you forgot what happened in the past five episodes, let me bring you up to date. The ship pulls out of hyperspace and we see Peridia, an ancient home of the Dathomir people. It's a place where the whales come to die. There's rings around this planet and it's a graveyard. This is where the Purgles just end up, kind of similar to what whales do. There's whale graveyards in the ocean. They just kind of go there and then they die.
Yeah, I've heard people complaining about that too. They're like, it's space. How are whales going to decompose in space? And like, just give them time. They'll do it.
Oh, I love that's where the line of disbelief ends. It's the explosions in space. Yeah, bring it on. But the whale.
The laser swords and people moving crap with their minds. Well, that's
There's no oxygen, so nothing explodes in space. It implodes. It's like underwater. Everything gets pulled in. Nothing gets exploded. There's no fire because there's no oxygen to feed it. There's no air, so there's no sound for things to bounce out back and forth. I'm complaining again. So much for positivity. Anyways, they travel
right,
to
the but planet. No, it is. I'm sorry, but it is funny. It's like, oh yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's where the suspense of disbelief winds up.
Right.
I was on board until I saw the whales in the graveyard. I'm out.
Okay. Fine. Well, then I'll just hit stop recording and we can call it a day. Thank you for listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast.
I was just being them. I wasn't being me. They travel to the planet and that's where we meet three Night Sisters, which is cool because at this point in the galaxy, I believe the Night Sisters have been destroyed in the Star Wars galaxy. So it's cool to see them living completely in another galaxy. And when you start talking about stories, how did the Night Sisters come to the Star Wars galaxy, for lack of a better term? That's a story right there from history. The whole legend, I'm sure, of Jedi probably come from this place and they move over to the Star Wars galaxy. But I love seeing these Night Sisters in live action. We do learn that the Night Sisters communicated to Morgan through dreams and through the Force. They call Sabine out for being a Jedi, which I'm like, is it just the viewer that's like, she's not a Jedi? There's no Force ability.
Right, or it smells Jedi, it's like, they were meaning that she was too close to, maybe they smelled Ahsoka on her, but maybe she has just enough of the Force to where they're like, there's something up with her.
Yeah. They call her it at some point. They call Sabine it, like, it's a Jedi. It reeks.
Right.
We see the three wolves. You know, it's Filoni, so if wolves are going to happen.
Dude,
see...
I was like, holy crap, loath wolves. And
No.
Womp womp.
Here, Balin and Shin have a scene together, and Balin isn't comfortable, and he's basically not comfortable because of the stories. He says, like, he's very mysterious, and I can't wait for the reveal. I hope it's not a letdown of history repeating itself again and again and again. And Shin asks if Thrawn will be the one to bring her and Balon into power. And Balon says that power is fleeting. He wishes to bring an end to the cycle. Shin says the story begins here, like on this planet. Mm-hmm. Everything starts from this planet. And Balon says, if the stories are true. So again, we're tying into the stories that this planet has some sort of history with Jedi.
Right. Have you ever watched The Dark on Netflix?
No. That's okay. A German one, right?
Yeah, and it's basically what Balin was talking about is the whole premise of the show is that time repeats itself and people mm-hmm. keep trying to go back in time and fix it and to stop everything. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's just a mind F because it just, I don't even know what happened in it. And I watched all three. I mean, you're dealing with the language barrier, but then it's just a lot of time jumping, time travel. And I'm like, is this where Star Wars is going, or what the deal is with that? It just really reminded me that, okay, they want to, is it going to be something where he's trying to time travel, or is time just repeating itself as the stories are repeating itself? And then to bring it back, which I should have mentioned a few minutes ago, same kind of media, Star, The Dark Tower by Stephen King. If you read that, and I'm sorry, it's going to be a spoiler. So if you, it's about a 30-year-old book. So if you haven't read it, I'm skip ahead 30 seconds. But the way that the book ends is basically him going through a door where you're opening the first book. So it's just like you're reading it. So it's him starting everything over again because somebody else is picking up the book for the first time. So it's like my mind is going really, is that, oh, Jason Wasoko's Atlantis.
Yeah, you might want to read this too.
Oh, really? I need to, my wife has a copy of that. I'll have to read it.
Anyways, yeah.
So
Spoiler alert.
Is it, you know, I know too much about trying time travel, or I've watched too many time travel movies. It's like, is this now where Star Wars is going? So my mind is going a million different directions during that conversation.
I think Baylan is trying to destroy everything. I think he's mad. Mm-hmm. I think he's crazy mad. Like, he's composed and he's together, but I think he wants to end the entire universe.
Well, that's pretty much where both of those are going. I mean, he could be trying to end things and start fresh. And then you've got the freaking Ahsoka the White meeting Sabine at the thing. It's like in Rebels, when the prelogue, Ahsoka the
you
White.
You have to give Filoni some room to maneuver there. He didn't know what he was doing 5 years later.
Yeah.
He just said these characters are going to be here at some point. Mm-hmm. And this is how I see it. And then when he started writing, he realized it's, you have to see the journey of Ahsoka.
Right. Which I'm cool with. Don't get me wrong. But the way things have gone, my mind canon is going off in a totally different direction. But then I'm trying to also stop and enjoy the show.
Yeah. And
enjoy the ride.
Sabine tries to use the Force. And the temple begins to shake. And I'm like, talking about this planet being important to Jedi, and this Night Sister setup that she reeks as Jedi. So I thought maybe this planet unlocked some power inside of her, but no, it's a Star Destroyer arriving. And that's when we see the gold plates that repair the Purgles, where the Purgles hugged it because it loves Star Destroyer so much.
And you also saw the two of the engines weren't working.
Yep, the engines weren't working right. The organ starts to build slowly. Which is an instrument used in Rebels to highlight Thrawn. The Star Destroyer lands on top of the Night Sister Tower as the organ swells. We see all these stormtroopers. They're dirtied. They're wrapped in red linen, similar to the Night Sisters. So we have some questions about that. Some use gold inlay to repair their armor, like the old Japanese. I'm probably going to mess this up. Kintsugi method. That is incorporating beauty in destruction. So if you have a pot and it breaks, you use gold inlay to repair it. And so it becomes this actually becomes even more beautiful because you're embracing the destruction of this piece and you're highlighting it, but you're also you're repairing it, you're recycling it. It's gorgeous. So it's just weird to see something so destructive, like the stormtroopers incorporate that into them. The question is, you know, they've got the red linen wrapped around them. The stormtroopers, are they reanimated by the Night Sisters? And we can come back to this in a second. But we saw
we'll
Merrick.
We'll come back to this in a second.
We saw that with Merrick. So it's like, was that the introduction to the concept of reanimating things?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Captain Enoch turns around. So this guy is a stormtrooper, but where the eyes and the nose piece should be. It's a gold face, similar to what we've seen in Goldface in The Office or THX-1138. We see Thrawn march down between the stormtroopers. This is an event, like you mentioned before, 30 years in the making. When I read Heir to the Empire, I had a dream of a live-action Thrawn. I haven't seen the shot that I saw yet. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the last shot in the show. But, yeah, Thrawn's uniform is worn down a little bit. They probably have limited supplies, so he can't reforge a new one. He's doing the best of what he has. He's keeping it clean. Thrawn says that they'll soon exit their exile. There's something down in the catacombs. There was a deal made where whatever's in the catacombs will go with Thrawn and the Night Sisters to the Star Wars galaxy, for the lack of a better term. We'll just call it the Star Wars galaxy. Thrawn learns of Sabine's arrival. He's a little perturbed by that. The Night Sisters didn't foresee that from happening. Perhaps that's the Force working. The Force is telling the Night Sisters that, you know, Morgan is coming, but conveniently leaves out that Sabine will be there too.
I want to get,
is that the balance of the Force?
Are we going to get to the mountain in a minute? You got that, the mountain that they're on.
It's not a mountain, it's a tower.
Oh, is it a tower? I thought it might have been Mount Tanev, or as close as we're going to get to Mount Tanev in.
Well, Mount Tanev was in Bad Batch.
Oh, was it in Bad Batch? Okay, well, never mind. Tanis. That's Emperor's Stockhold store. Yeah. Okay.
That's where Tick dies, like right outside that mountain.
All right. Well, that's, I need to pay more attention to Bad Batch.
Yeah.
I also was, why was the time when we were remodeling? So I'm watching it on my phone, and that may be why I missed that.
Baylan meets Thrawn for the first time, and Baylan is described as a mercenary. So that's the first time we actually kind of place where Baylan is. He's a Jedi, but he's a mercenary. Mm-hmm. Thrawn asks Baylan if he's General Baylan Skull of the Jedi Order. So at one point, he was also a general in the Clone Wars.
That's typical Thrawn. He's like, I know you.
Yep. And Thrawn, Baylan says that he left the Order a long time ago. Thrawn and Sabine unite. Did we get tears here?
Not really. No.
Thrawn thanks her for giving him the map. So obviously that's how he got there. Thrawn comments how her singular choice to find Ezra will reshape the galaxy. So Thrawn says, because you've done this, the Empire's coming back. It was essentially his attitude. But things don't add up. So Thrawn, what?
Nothing.
Thrawn, things really don't add up because Thrawn's letting her go. Because he says, because she helped his cause, he's going to help her cause to find Ezra. And he even warns her that Ezra might be dead. But again, things aren't adding up. Like, why would you just let her go?
Yeah.
So it's like,
because that's Thrawn, dude.
It is. But at the same time, just kill her and be done with it. Like, you're the Empire. You're coming back. You got to be ruthless. You can't be making deals and letting the good guys go. Unless there's some sort of stalemate that happened. The reason that Thrawn mentions it later in the episode that his forces have been decimated. And I kind of feel, and spoiler alert, Ezra comes back. And I kind of feel like Ezra and the stormtroopers are at a standstill. Like they're evenly matched. So Thrawn at some point just decides not to go out there.
Yeah, it's not worth to fight him. It's not worth his trouble.
Yeah.
You stay over here. I'm going to stay over here. And
they're at a stalemate.
You're right.
They tried. They're at a stalemate. So that's how things are. But now that Sabine's here and Baylan's there, the scales have tipped a little bit. So he's going to go let Sabine do the dirty work to find Ezra. And then Baylan's going to go out there and just decimate Ezra.
Dude, I can't wait. That's going to be such an, I hope that's going to be like an amazing battle between him and Ezra. Like, Ezra's just going to go and, you know, maybe he's the son.
Yeah. Let's talk about the whole Stormtroopers thing real quick, because Sabine meets that wolf creature, Captain Enoch, who sounds unlike anything we've ever heard in Stormtroopers before. There's something a little bit off.
Yeah.
He tells Sabine that nomads roam the planet and they prey upon each other for survival, and wishes her die well as goodbye. Well. But he sounds different. So it's like, is the mechanics of the Stormtrooper armor broken, or is he reanimated and this is how the undead sound?
Right. Which he sounds very much like Morok.
So is that just, what's a Sam Witwer again?
I think it's the same. I think he's reanimated. There's a lot of theories going around in there. I don't know if all those are reanimated. I don't know if he's reanimated. I'm trying to I think we're getting ready to see some serious crap in Star Wars when they get back to this universe. I mean, we're not going to see it now. We're not going to see it right now, but I think in a couple of years when the movie comes out, we're going to see some undead crap reanimated. That those sarcophaguses that are going or whatever that's getting loaded up is full of the undead or full of Night Sister magic, and Thrawn's counting on the Night Sisters to bring him an army.
And I would like to just remind people who might be like, I don't want zombies in Star Wars. The whole thing with the light side of the Force is to become one with the Force. And the whole thing with the dark side is to try to preserve your life and not join that living force for as long as possible. So things like reanimating death, trying to live on, clone, you know, move your body from one clone to the other, that's all part of the dark side's need to kind of stretch out your life as long as possible. You're almost like afraid of death, whereas the Jedi embrace it and they enjoy becoming one with the Force.
Right.
So it's somehow. It's all tied together, though.
Right. Somehow all these stormtroopers survived.
Let's see if we can finish this up real quick, because I do like the samurai influence. Filoni said that this is a samurai adventure, and every so often it pops in, and this episode specifically felt like that. Some of the nomads look like samurai armor. The way that they shoot, like Sabine even leaving this, it looked like a Japanese temple with the doors sliding open, Sabine walking out. Thrawn orders Baylan to follow Sabine at their own pace, but says, you know, when you find them, destroy them. So I think, again, that's the scales tipping. Like, I have the opportunity now to send a Jedi after Ezra.
Right.
Sabine is attacked by nomads. She, interestingly, uses her gun to shield herself from one of the attacks. Like, someone goes to shoot her head and she throws her blaster up to block it. And that's almost like a Jedi with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that was on purpose to say she does have some Jedi reflexes. And here you go. She's not good with the lightsaber so much, as we'll see that in a second. She is. But, you know, she can dodge blasters when needed.
Mm-hmm. I think Hu Yang and Ahsoka are being too hard on her. She knows what she's doing. Just like Ahsoka said, let her be herself. I don't need her to be a Jedi. I need her to be her. And when you let her be her, she's a badass.
Yeah, I also feel like after rewatching episodes 4 and 5, Baylan is telling Ahsoka that her legacy is death and destruction. Mm-hmm. And she kind of deals with that in The World Between Worlds.
Right.
She feels like her legacy, again, is going to be death and destruction because of the path that came before her. And Anakin, and so it's like she feels like, everything that's in Anakin is in me, then I am death and destruction.
Right.
She sheds that. She becomes Ahsoka the White. But I feel like there was some, not hesitant, resentment that she was training Sabine to become death and destruction.
Maybe.
And so I feel like that played a part in it as well. We see more shots of stormtroopers loading coffin-like objects into the Star Destroyer. The question is, are they people? Because it did look a little too small to be, you know, like a 6-foot coffin. It looked like it was more like maybe 5-4 feet. Mm-hmm. Did you have any impression, or did you not watch it that close?
I did not pay attention that close. Somebody did point out that at one moment a coffin comes really, or whatever it is, comes really close to the camera, and you can hear some crazy shit going on in there. I'm going back to like Star Wars, Jedi Survivor or Fallen Order rather. And when you're on Dathomir, though, I don't know if they're really 6-foot tall people that attack you on Dathomir. Cause you know, they're all reanimated.
Yeah. The Knight Brothers. We'll see. It'll be revealed at some point.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of looking forward to this new Star Wars, man. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I mean, I think Star Wars needs this, because Star Wars needs to get away from the Skywalker saga, and that's where we're going.
Yeah, but
what?
That opens up another door that I've been struggling with for some time now. Where the hell has Ahsoka been throughout the Skywalker saga? Like, where has she been? There's no reason for someone who can do good to sit out and do nothing.
He hadn't been invented yet.
And same thing with Luke right now. We just saw Grogu go away. So we know that Luke has no people that he's training.
Right.
And we know that he's the hero of the galaxy. So why not bring him along to deal with Thrawn?
He's too busy training all his younglings.
It's inexcusable in my mind. In both cases.
Truthfully, you want to know? I just think it's too much money to bring to do the de-aging and crap. I don't know. It would be cool to see it, but I also think they needed to do the Star Trek thing and just recast them and start fresh. Let's start with a new Luke. But I mean, I don't know. We're going on the deep end, man. On the pool.
Alden Ehrenreich. It's not Star Trek. It's Star Wars. They've already done it with Solo. Right.
It should have, and people were pissed off about that. I'm like, dude, Harrison Ford can't play Han Solo anymore. He's too freaking old.
Not that young. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you go to that line from Yoda, that boys are less hope. No, there is another.
Right.
It's like, well, no, actually, there's 12. It's ridiculous.
You know, like you said a few minutes ago, Dave Filoni had no clue that Ahsoka would turn into Ahsoka the White, and we needed to see the story. Maybe they had no clue. They didn't know what they were doing. George Lucas didn't know Dave Filoni was going to come along and totally change everything.
No, but I'm saying, like, Filoni should have honored that, and Ahsoka should have been dead a long time ago, in my humble opinion. I am enjoying the content, but it's tough to look past that little fact that Ahsoka should have been standing by Luke Skywalker and helping him out the whole time.
Yeah, well, Ahsoka should have been dead 3 times, too.
Ahsoka, at the very least, should have been on the board of the Home One during, Return of the Jedi.
Hey, maybe they can re-release a special, special, special edition and put her in the background.
They're done with that. No, unless George orders it, it's done. Anyways, back to them loading these sarcophagus things onto the Star Destroyer. Thrawn says to wait for Baylan's signal before sending troops. And Morgan asks if they should send more troops than what he's asking or telling them to do. And he says during exile, their forces have dwindled. It really doesn't matter what happens to Ezra, Baylan, Shin, or Sabine. All that matters is, he's studying that map of the galaxy that they get out of there.
That just shows you how calculated Thrawn is. He don't give a crap. He's ready to get off there, and he's going to use anybody to his to get to in.
Yep. I like it when animals have personalities in storytelling. I guess I'll pitch my book again.
Atlantis by Jason Wasogo. Available
for no particular reason, but I do like it.
Available? Where is it available?
Amazon. Amazon.com.
Huh?
Dot cam. Amazon.com. I like it when animals have personalities, and I do like the relationship between Sabine and this wolf. It's very playful. The wolf at some point smells something. It leads Sabine to water, and she's like, really? This is it? But then he starts sniffing rocks, and he finds the rock people. They're short creatures that have rocks on their back like snail shells. I see a lot of inspiration in this character from snails. It's got eyes that kind of pop out of its head like a snail. It's got crab-like features. Even the face looks like a grasshopper, which I thought was really cool and different.
Mm-hmm.
My main question
with those guys is, how do they put their clothes on?
One leg at a time.
I wonder if they can get out their shell and put the clothes on.
Maybe. But they conceal themselves that way from the nomads. They're able to just hunker down into the shell and let the nomads pass, and then they can get up and do their thing. So the creature recognizes the rebellion logo on Sabine's armor, and then he shows that he's got the a necklace that's the rebellion logo, and they make the connection like, oh, Ezra. And the creature even says Ezra Bridger at one point. So
yeah.
Sabine follows the snail guys. Shin, we cut back to Shin and Balon, who are left at the devastation that Sabine's left behind with the nomads. Balon says that Ezra was trained as a Jedi and Shin has been trained to be something more. We still don't know what that is. We can only speculate. Balon says that he misses the idea of the Jedi Order, but there was no future there. Shin asks if he sees one here at this planet. He says he sees the great witch kingdom of Dathomir. Shin suggests that she leaves this place. They leave this place, to which Balon replies, perhaps they flee a power greater than their own. So it seems like Shin is a little uneasy with this planet. There's something weird that's going on. Is Balon looking for that power that he's sensing here, the greater power that's there? Or is he just going mad and he's just being delusions of grandeur? Like, there's really nothing there. He just senses that, or maybe he's just inflating his ego. But it does seem like, I'll stop in a second. Shin isn't sipping the Kool-Aid anymore. She seems very afraid of something. Balon just ends, like something calls to him.
There's something going on with him, because he even says when they're looking at the map, it's a power that their power is sort of different than what everybody else is looking for. So I definitely think he's looking at this as a means to an end. And I think I feel really bad that Ray Stevenson as a person passed away, because this character is such a badass character that they're going to have to end up, I don't know what's going to happen to him towards the end, but he did such a good job with him, and then they're going to have to recast him if they decide to continue with him. Mm-hmm. But there's something going on, and this character is probably, I could have seen them having an Ahsoka versus Balon, you know, as him being the bad guys and Ahsoka leading the good guys. And then Thrawn being something totally different. So you could have a battle on three different fronts. But there's been a lot of speculation that there's something really big going on this planet, and it must be really big to scare the Empire off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Balin's going after it. And I really think he's going to end up being, you hate to see Shin, like, you don't want to, you've said that, oh, this is the same arc as Reva, is Shin betraying her master and going mm-hmm. off with the good guys.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Right. So that's, we've seen that before, but we see it everywhere. That's storytelling 101, I think. But I think Balin's going to get left on the planet, and he's going to end up finding whatever it is and harnessing it. And then you're going to see something. Maybe he's the one that turns into the crazy Jedi.
That'd be awesome. Like,
and it's not a clone.
He's like the analog of Jor Sabaoth from Heir to the Empire, the crazy Jedi.
Yeah.
He's basically the same thing, but he's just like reconfigured. He's not the exact same thing.
Right. So maybe he's the one that turns into Jarrus.
But I'm also just worried that, you know, Obi-Wan was about a depressed Jedi who comes out of that depression and becomes powerful again. Ahsoka was a depressed Jedi who's become powerful again. Reva was a dark force user, an inquisitor who makes the switch over to the good side. Shin kind of seems to be, you know, teetering. Am I really feeling this? Am I really giving myself to this side of the fight?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little like too much of a parallel to Obi-Wan. And I'm just like, can we change things up a little bit, please?
What if her and Sabine fall in love and.
Cool. Whatever.
Because there's a lot of people that are like that are like, oh man, her and Sabine are going to have a thing.
So to finish this off, Sabine travels to the village of the snail peoples, and she reunites with an old friend. The camera pans to reveal a person out of focus. Ezra says, I knew I could count on you. He's got a beard now. He's covered in chainmail. They've kind of, Ryan pointed this out, but I don't know if we've got a clear view, but the chainmail seems to be the dog tags of stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Is it that? Like, I can't get that close to actually say.
I didn't think stormtroopers had dog tags, but.
I didn't either, but it's possible that we just haven't seen it before now. And instead of having like a necklace of ears that we saw in, what was that movie? some soldier from the
that
90s.
That was Quentin Tarantino, right?
Was it Tarantino? Or was it Platoon? Apocalypse
Glorious
Now?
Bastards? Was it that?
He might have used it in that too. But anyways, he's, you know, maybe he's keeping that as a souvenir. He's making a chainmail out of their armor.
But the quotes coming out of Ezra's mouth are the same that he left, you know, they ended Rebels with. So it just all brings it back full circle.
I did recognize, and I'm not like a big Rebels fan. Like, I mean, I like Rebels, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't like hum the music from the show.
Right.
But I could tell that some of this music was from Rebels. Like
they've been lifting Rebels music this whole season.
But this one stood out.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's related to Ezra and Ezra's on the show more than anyone else in mm-hmm. Rebels. So maybe that's why it stuck out. But there's a nice reunion here. They embrace each other, but Sabine is holding back information. She doesn't tell him how he got there.
Right.
How she got there. And Ezra seems to just think, okay, let's just go to your ship and we'll just get out of here. That's going to be a problem. His sacrifice, when he learns that his sacrifice to go into exile and keep Thrawn away, was for nothing, and Thrawn's going to go back to the galaxy, that's going to be a problem. And I really worry that, will Sabine have to sacrifice herself at some point to save the galaxy?
Don't say that.
Well, this is like a delayed choice. Like she could have died and destroyed the map and saved them all, but she's just delaying her death for a later point.
Don't. No. You want to see a man cry like a little child? Let Sabine sacrifice herself.
You do know at some point she's going to use the Force and it's going to be like a moment. Like it's a moment where she needs to use the Force. It's a miracle that she actually used the Force. That might be the end. It's just speculation.
And then when you're like, well, he's going to be so upset that his sacrifice was for nothing, wouldn't it? No matter which way she got there to that planet, no matter who got to that planet, both of them were going to have to be dealt with, Thrawn and Ezra. You know, you're going to have to deal with Thrawn. You can't just sneak on that planet, grab Ezra, and go.
Mm-hmm.
Thrawn was going to have to get dealt with at that moment. So I don't know why it's like a big shocker or a big, oh my God, I got here because I went with, you know, this is how I got here. I don't understand that. I don't understand that part of the storytelling, even because it's a duh moment. Like, yeah, of course I got here and now we're going to have to deal with Thrawn. And now Thrawn's, you know, the sacrifice, quote unquote, was for nothing. To me, I just don't get it, but maybe I'm just not. It's too obvious to me.
Mm.
You know,
maybe you care too much for these characters.
I care. I do. Oh, yeah, maybe. But I just don't get it because it is to me. It's like, yeah, you would have to, whoever got there to save Ezra is going to have to deal with Thrawn at the same time. And it's a threat finding Ezra, no matter which way you found Ezra, it was a threat that Thrawn was going to come back.
I think the best case scenario is Ahsoka flies in before Morgan Elsbeth grabs Ezra, destroys the map and flies home. And that way Morgan can't get to Thrawn and Thrawn can't get back. I think that's the best case scenario. That's not what happened though.
Right. I think
would you let a bomb go off and kill 12 billion people if you knew that it would save one life? Because I think that's sort of the choice. It's maybe 12 billion is too big, but essentially she's willing to sacrifice lives of people in the galaxy to save one.
Yeah. I mean, and when you think about it, that's her only family that's left is Ezra. Because they revealed that everybody died in the Siege of Mandalore. Her whole family died in the Siege of Mandalore. And that to me, the most heartbreaking thing of this whole series is that the Rebels crew isn't together anymore. To me. Mm-hmm. Because you had four seasons of them being such a close-knit family that it was like, okay, our things done, we've done what we needed to do and we don't need to be a family anymore.
We don't
need to be a unit anymore.
I feel like they could have done a little bit more of reaffirming that Ezra was all the family Sabine had.
Yeah.
It's there, but I feel like with some of the reactions I've seen on the show, of people's reactions of the show, I should say, it would have been helpful just to remind people, like, this is what would you do for your family? This is what she's doing for her family.
And it was such an underlying vibe in Rebels. And they've kind of, you're right. They've kind of let it go in.
It's there.
Right.
And that's what motivates her. But instead of that scene on the jail where Baylan is telling Shin, or sorry, where Sabine is, you know, telling Baylan, hey, we had a deal. You're supposed to bring me to Ezra. Mm-hmm. They should have said, you know, have another scene where like Ezra was something like she's looking at a photo of him or something. I don't know, hologram again, just to reaffirm, like, this is my family.
Right.
Anyways, the Night Sisters warn Thrawn that someone is following them, and Thrawn uses his cunning intellect to figure out that it's probably Ahsoka, that Ahsoka survived. Baylan was not able to kill Ahsoka. All whales are supposed to be destroyed, so any whales that approach the planet are going to get killed, and the Night Sisters are willing to use their dark magic to help Thrawn. So that's where the show ends, with Thrawn smiling.
Yeah.
I do think the last shot of the show will be Thrawn re-entering the galaxy as a metaphor, like the evil has arrived.
Yeah, because there is a scene of him on the Eye of Sion that we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I think something's going to happen to where they may defeat him. Ahsoka's going to show up at part of the last minute. There's going to be some kind. We still haven't seen the big battle yet. I don't know if that battle is going to happen in the next episode or the following or to end the season. But there is a big battle coming up that is going to be, Ezra and Ahsoka versus Thrawn and all the people that are there, because I don't think Ahsoka is going to be able to defeat the army Thrawn has by herself.
Yeah.
So he's definitely going to get off planet. Some kind of way. I don't know. I've seen too much of shows where they build up to something and they resolve it in 5 minutes.
In Filoni, we trust. But that's also Filoni. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars resolves itself in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The original movie.
Yeah.
Like all the things tie up in 30 seconds with the explosion of the Death Star. Han comes back, fulfilling that character trait. Luke Skywalker turns off his computer to believe in the Force and trust in the Force. Darth Vader gets knocked out. And then they get their awards. Like it all just kind of comes together. And Obi-Wan finishes the training with Luke. Like, use the Force, Luke.
Right. And I think that's what's going to happen in this series, is we're going to see a resolution in 30 seconds. And then you're going to see, like you're saying, I think the last shot of this is Thrawn either reentering the galaxy. It ends with a close up of Thrawn doing something. And that's how this season ends.
Yeah.
And then it's either we're going to get an Ahsoka season 2, or this is going to bleed into everything. But I did not think it was going to be this awesome.
Oh, good.
Not that it's this awesome, but the future is so bright right now for Star Wars, and I didn't think that the Rebels characters would be this important in Star Wars. you know.
Yeah.
And it just seems like he's lifting all these people up to be the future of Star Wars.
Yeah. So bring on, 2 more episodes left. One thing I forgot to mention, sorry to change the subject, but before we wrap up real quick, I've been reading From a Certain Point of View, the Return of the Jedi thing with the 40 stories to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are okay. Some of them are good. There's one that I really struggled with, and I'm sorry, there's one with Salacious Crumb, which obviously I loved, but there's one that I really struggled with, and it's like, if it wasn't canon, it would have been great.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that it's a humorous take. It's like, yeah, humor does belong, and we can have fun with Star Wars stories. It's from the point of view of the Sarlacc itself.
Oh.
And the Sarlacc, and I'm sorry to spoil it, it's just the concept. The Sarlacc is upset that people keep being thrown into his mouth because he doesn't digest people. It's a very funny thing.
Uh-huh.
But now I have to live with the canon in my head that the Sarlacc doesn't want to eat people and we're forcing people down its throat. And he's just like, please stop. Please, please stop. It's a funny concept, but at the same time, like, I wanted the Sarlacc to be a beast that just swallows things and just eats things alive, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And this just makes fun of it. And it's like, we can have fun and that would be great, but now that this is a canonical book,
mm-hmm.
canonical book. So it's like, now that's canon, which I don't like, and I'm struggling with that.
I'm still, you know what I'm struggling with?
What?
Getting through the first book, getting through the first one. And I enjoyed it. It's just one of those things where I found other things to read. And when you move on, it's like a TV show. I really enjoyed this TV show, but I found other stuff to watch and you just never go back to it. And then years later, you're like, whatever happened to that show? Oh, well, he never went back to finish watching it.
I've got 4 books here I'm reading in the middle of. So I'm in the same. That's typically not me. I like to finish a book before I move on, but.
Anyways. That book, the good thing about that book is you could read it in while you're reading other stuff because it's all short stories.
It's all short stories, yeah.
My dad could do that. My dad could read 3 or 4 books at once, and I don't know how he could do it. I can't. I'm like you. It's like if I read or if I'm reading something, I don't know if you're this way, but it needs to be quiet. I can't have anything going on in the background. Like if you're at a doctor's office and you try to read a book, I can't concentrate on it.
Yeah, I know.
Same. Yeah. So I need to be quiet. I need to be focused. I don't know how people can read with a lot of stuff going on in the background.
Me neither. Well, thank you. Oh, is that it? I think that's it.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to spend time speculating because everything has been wrong. I've watched so many things that have speculated, so many videos, and all of them are wrong. So I don't want to spend time speculating. I'm just enjoying the hell out. I just want to enjoy the ride.
I will speculate that Sabine will use the Force in a moment where it matters the most.
And it'll be, oh crap, I just did that.
Yeah. Like saving someone's life. Like, I need to remove the rock. Otherwise, you know, we're all going to die or something. And then she uses the Force and removes the rock.
Yeah. But I think we're going to see Ahsoka back this episode. There's another battle and somehow Thrawn returns. So Thrawn, I think we're going to see Thrawn come back into this universe and Baylan's going to stay on planet. And
he's going to die.
You think Baylan's going to die?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's part of it.
I've heard
rumors. We're speculating now.
Yeah, we are speculating. We're not going to speculate. What if he starts the Knights of Ren?
That's very possible.
And then somehow he makes it back to them. Because, okay. I don't want to speculate, but I did think it was.
But I'm going
to
do it anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. No, there was a line that Morgan said that we skipped over. She said that the Dathomirs, the witches learned how to ride Purgles. So it's like, now do we have another means of transportation in the Star Wars universe? I mean, yes, granted, Ahsoka harnessed the power of a Purgle, but are we going to see them actually purposely say, hey, get me from point A to point B, not I'm just going to jump in your mouth and let's see where you go.
I'll clean your teeth while you do this.
Yeah, I'm Star Wars. I say this with all the love in my heart. Star Wars were stale and now Dave Filoni is breathing new life into it.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. Let's have zombies.
Thank you for listening to this crabby episode of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, if it's allowed. It really helps us out and points people to our show. You can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Send us an email or message us. We love feedback. We'd love to make you part of the show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso for the Smuggler's Galaxy logo. And thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People, collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
This is the way.